Master Shaheem Ali, and you're now listening to the ROH Review. Ooh, baby!
Hello, and welcome to ROH Review Interviews. I'm your host, three-time pro wrestling author Oliver Newman, and unfortunately, yet again, my co-host Stephen Jackson can't be here today. Yeah, no, I'm gutted too. But I'm delighted to be joined by Shaheem Ali.
Chocolate man.
Okay. I think I was hesitant to say that, but you can, so it's all good. Yeah. How are you doing today, Shaheem?
I'm doing good, man. Very excited.
Yeah. He's got this on his Skype. He's doing a podcast at noon. He's told me off air with lots of swearing involved, so Danhausen wouldn't be happy. No. That nobody should interrupt this really important podcast interview, which makes me feel quite good. So, yeah.
I'll do my damned to be good.
Well, the 2.5 pages worth of notes makes me feel this is going to go on forever. But Shaheem seems to be a nice guy, so we'll continue as...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think you're pretty cool. So, yeah, going right back to the beginning, we always ask this of our guests. ROH fandom, before you joined the company, what did you make of the company itself, and was you a fan of the product?
I will honestly say that I loosely gained information year by year coming up. I was, at the time, I think it was like 2008, 2009-ish, I stumbled upon some DVDs of Ring of Honor, and I was hooked because I had no idea that there was, you know, other companies on the rise that had, you know, lit, you know, a good history of great wrestlers and things like that. And at the time, you know, growing up, all I knew was what was on TV. And when I joined wrestling and started training in 2006, I didn't really have that much information about anything else outside of TV, because at the time my trainer only focused on just training us. He didn't really give much information, and he really wasn't that good of a person, so that made sense to why. But Ring of Honor, once I got a chance to check it out, I was hooked. I got a chance to see... one of the guys who I still idolize to this day, Jay Lethal. I got to see Dan Moff. I got to see, you know, Christopher Daniels, Rhett Titus, Kenny King, Delirious. I mean, all these people that I've actually got a chance to meet, spend time with, and have matches with. So it was amazing. I was just like, yes, I hope one day that I'm able to, you know, step foot in one of those rings and perform. And I did.
Dreams can come true. Yeah, and talking about like your debut match and stuff, you went straight into wrestling the decade. So Jimmy Jacobs, and he's called now Hangman Adam Page, but just Adam Page at the time. And you was even teaming with your coast-to-coast partner that would come later, but Leon St. Giovanni, what did you make of this? This is a heck of a debut to make, I think.
Yeah, it was a strange match because it was a random put together match. I believe that you know, they needed to basically beat somebody up or wrestle somebody, and I so happened to get the luck of the draw. Me and LSG and another gentleman, we teamed up to go up against, you know, and I was that day, going back now, I'm starting to get those feelings. I was like, oh my God, I'm about to perform. What the hell's going on? But at the time, you know, LSG wasn't even my tag partner. We just so happened to be put together a lot. And yeah. It was a while. It took a while before we were just like joking around at the ROH dojo in Bristol, Pennsylvania before. And I was just like, you know what? They keep putting us together so much on the road. Why don't we just be a tag team? And we both laughed. Ha ha ha. Yeah, right. And then, you know, eventually through time, we became coast to coast at one point. So
Yeah, Shaheem Ali, much like every other guest I've had, is reading my notes. That comes later, Shaheem. But yeah, I was like making my way through the matches that you've had, especially the dark matches. And one of the ones that jumps out to me, and probably to Stephen too, because it's his favorite wrestler, that isn't Matt Taven, Bandido, Jonathan Gresham. So, yeah, wrestling Jonathan Gresham. It was a dark match, but this must have been a fantastic experience.
Technically, let's put it technical. Technically, it wasn't a dark match. Because it's on YouTube, anybody wants to go look it up,
I'll definitely go look it up.
It's awesome. Yeah. Wrestling Jonathan Gresham. At the same time, me and him are pretty good buddies, and we do play video games together, too. Note to that. He's pretty awesome. Jonathan Gresham is probably, and I'm glad that him and Jay Lethal are a tag team, and the Chimps. Jonathan Gresham is probably one of the best technical wrestlers I've ever witnessed in this business today. He is a class act. He's definitely very just knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing, I feel like there's nothing that can hold him back. And it was just a blessing and an honor to be sharing a ring with him, for sure.
Yeah.
And I remember that night, it was especially because it was in Philadelphia, and at the time when I was living in Philly, just the crowd response, the energy and the impact that was put on the fans and stuff from that match really helped push me a little bit forward, and you know, I'm glad that both of us were able to bring that to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I saw him wrestle for the first time in 2013, and I was like, this guy is amazing. And here we are 7 years later, and he's ROH World Tag Team Champion, one half, isn't he? So yeah, I said this to you, and I've mentioned it now. I've got 2.5 pages. We're going to have to narrow some of this down. So if I miss out anyone, I do apologize, but it's just about names that are kind of jumping at me. So yeah, me and my co-host Stephen just recently covered a Future of Honor match, and this guy was on commentary. Brutal Bob Evans. He's got a fantastic reputation as a trainer. His commentary was top notch. What was it like wrestling him?
The match that we had wasn't that great on my end, because sometimes when I get into the ring, I don't do it now, but, it took me a while, when I started wrestling with Ring of Honor to kind of get over my marking out, so to speak, or my fanning out for certain people that I really admired and, just really appreciated. And, Bob Evans, he always, and still to this day, looks out for me as best as he possibly can. Anytime we speak, he's always more than just knowledgeable and helpful and just straight to the point. He doesn't, you know, bullshit, excuse my language, but he doesn't pull any punches, man, and he keeps it real. And being in a ring with him was frustrating and just challenging, like I said, on my part, because I was trying to do power stuff to him at the time, and I don't know what was on my mind, because I'm always trying to pick somebody up. I always believe I'm the strongest. That's just how my mentality works. And there were some things there that I should never have tried. But he was a certified pro, and he put the whoop into me, and he taught me some lessons, and that match, I wish there was a redo for sure. But overall, Bob Evans is an awesome wrestler, awesome trainer, awesome coach, and it's always great to see him. Hi, Bob!
If he's watching. This name, obviously, it's not really familiar with me, but he's a huge part of the ROH Dojo, so... wrestling Will Ferrara, and yeah, he's part of the ROH Dojo. So is he a really good trainer? Is he somebody, you know, people can learn from and you know, become better in their career?
I believe that people can definitely learn from Will Ferrara. He's learned a whole bunch from Delirious, as well as I have, and Cheeseburger. At a time, like I said, going back to ROH Dojo when it was in Bristol, Delirious was the head trainer. And then when they started to shift gears a little bit in the company, Cheeseburger and Wolf Rauer kind of took over the ROH Dojo in the Bristol area of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And then when they moved the entire dojo to Baltimore, Will is, I believe, now still one of the trainers there, along with Jonathan Gresham, and Delirious. Mm-hmm. And Will's very knowledgeable. He's very stern. He's very serious. and he's a buddy of mine. And you know, he's. Oh man, I don't even know. Like, there's so many fun stories. I can't get into it, but I've spent a lot of time on the road, you know, traveling city to city with him. And, you know, just he's the one, and I will say this on the record, he's the one who put me on to one of the greatest rappers, comedians of all time right now, and that is Lil Dicky. But that's a side note. Anyway, Lil Willy. Big dog, Lil Willy, whatever. He's awesome. He's a cool guy. He's very serious about his work. And he's definitely someone that I'm pretty sure that the ROH Dojo students do appreciate down there in Baltimore, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
Very good. Like I said, it's a name that's unfamiliar with me, but it keeps coming up in like these press releases and stuff. So. Yeah, thought I'd ask the question. So next up, your team with the unwanted son, Colby Carino. How was that experience, and are you a fan of his dad's?
Yeah, I'm still actually looking up matches of Carino and Colby, man. Like, that's one of my guys too that I spent time on the road with earlier on when I, you know, joined up with Ring of Honor. And Colby is, I think people are sleeping on Colby, man, because like, mm-hmm. he's been through a lot. At the same time, like, I know for a fact that he can be more than what people, you know, may assume. Mm-hmm. And he's no different than his dad. He's talented, and he's definitely, he needs to be somewhere for sure. He needs mm-hmm. to be signed somewhere. He's got a lot to give, and I love that kid, man. He's awesome. Mm. Yeah, and it was a good time tagging with him, man. I wish we would have did a little bit more, but you know, LSG slipped into the picture, man, you know, so it's all good.
So it's you all never know. It's all because of you, LSG. No, I saw him on the Evolve show that was on the WWE Network, and when he was like bouncing around the ring and stuff, he's like, this guy is a tremendous athlete. So
he's got some hype ass energy to him, man. That's a little Carino Sonic Hedgehog or something, man.
So yeah, what was it like wrestling the Top Prospect Tournament?
Oh man, Top Prospect Tournament, that was prestigious, man. That was very important to me at the time. And I remember the year beforehand, I was watching Beer City Bruiser, Will Ferrara, Donovan Dijak. And I just remember sitting and watching from, actually, I was actually ring crew at the time. Mm-hmm. And I humbled myself to be ring crew for quite some time because I... Long story short, I believe that when you humble yourself, especially when you come to a new company, that you'll gain respect. You know, and I remember watching it from where I was at, and I just like, I have to be in that tournament one day. And mm-hmm. when I was an entry against Brian Fury, I literally almost lost it because it meant a lot to me and my family and my friends who were very supportive. And just being in a ring with someone like Brian Fury, you learn a lot about yourself. And I learned that I needed to be more intense. And mm-hmm. It was more so about breaking that shell of confidence because, you know, everyone deals with self-esteem issues and things like that. And I can be honest and say that I'm one of the people who will always be super judgmental of myself barely like half of the stuff that I do, but I love and appreciate every experience. And this tournament match, I really wish I would have been able to at least excel and have gone to the next round. But, you know, the cards were dealt the way they were dealt, and I lost. And but it was an awesome experience to be a part of, and a lot of people still talk about it.
Yeah,
it was great. Yeah,
I think every wrestler, you know, feels the same way about themselves in terms of being judgmental. The amount of people I've spoken to is like, that match was fantastic. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, and that's the worst thing people can tell me. That's the worst thing that people can tell me. I hate that. I'm like, oh, how was it, man? Oh, that was great, man. That was so good. All right, what part did you like? Oh, man, you know, that comeback. I'm like, what did I do? And then they're like, oh, man, it was awesome. I'm like, you know what? Get out of my face. Just get out of my face. Tell me what I'd rather my peers and fans, family, everybody who's watching to tell me what they really seen. Because therefore, that's what really helps me. And I believe that as a professional wrestler, the only way you become a pro is by, you know, fixing the mistakes.
Yeah.
Don't tell me the stuff that's good. I don't care about the stuff that's good, because if there was an issue, obviously there, you know, you'd be able to tell me. But yeah, I don't know. Give me the real deal.
Okay, I'm not sure what we're doing this interview for, because you suck. No, I'm not gonna say that. I mean, obviously, from a wrestling fan's perspective, you talk about the matches and you enjoy the matches, what they are. But I can understand from a wrestler's perspective, you always want to learn how to become better, don't you? So yeah, that's completely understandable. So I started writing down your dark matches, and that would have taken a long time. So you've wrestled the who's who in dark matches. Are there any standout ones that you've wrestled apart from Johnny Progression?
Danny Dugan, amazing, awesome performer. I wasn't ready for him. I'll tell you that. I was not ready. I didn't learn about him. I didn't know anything about him. I just, you know, I was just wrestling. I thought I was just, you know, just wrestling a wrestler, and it's all good, man. He's a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
He's a superstar, man. So I just remember just getting in there, and I would just say, all right, I'm about to do this thing. And then he whipped me, man. He worked circles around me. And you know what? It taught me a lesson too, you know. And every match I have, I always learn something from it. And I'm glad that I was able to step in the ring with Danny Dugan.
Yeah, as long as you're learning, then you're living to the best of your ability, aren't you, really? You got to learn some. Yeah. Once again, I think I've got to skip through some of my notes. So we'll move on to the first official match as Coast to Coast with Leon St. Giovanni.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've already described how this came to be. Maybe let's see if there's a story behind the name Coast to Coast.
At the time, this might be jumping forward a little bit, we did a triple Coast to Coast with Jason Kincaid in a first ever six-man Ring of Honor Championship title tournament. We just were bouncing around with names. We had probably 50 of the worst, best wrestling names in the world. We had – I'm going to go through a few because it's hilarious.
Yeah, sure, why not?
one black, one brown, because he tanned a lot, so he was obviously the browner. There was the bastards with a Z, the bastards. Oh man,
he's got a swear jar on this program.
Yeah, you're gonna be rich. There was still, which we joke around a lot about now, the Chocolate Man and Rocket Fuel. I mean, we were literally like, I forget, we were up late, tired after training. And we were just like, dude, we need a name because they keep calling us by our first name. We need a name. And I'm just like, man, I don't know. Let's just throw stuff out there. Ratchet and Clank. I don't care. Like, I mean, you know, and I think Coast to Coast came about because at first it was because the cool triple Coast to Coast thing that we did. And unfortunately, Jason Kincaid couldn't be a part of our team, but as much as we really wanted him, it would came down to just me and LSG, and I was like, look, man, let's just call ourselves Coast to Coast, bro. Like, that's one of our moves at the same time. I mean, we'll just figure it out along the way, because that's kind of like what we did our entire tag team time, like, spent, was just continuously learning from each other and stuff like that. So Coast to Coast at first just was because we did the move. Okay. And then it actually manifested into basically just he comes and people always, you know, bust our chops and rib us and stuff like that and make jokes because, like, oh, you're both from East Coast. Why are you guys called Coast to Coast? Well, if you look at it from a cultural representation, you know, we both represent two different cultures and we basically, you know, come together as brothers. And that's kind of like what Coast to Coast kind of became, just a brotherhood between two guys who came from two different directions of life and represent their cultures and, you know, as best as possible. And Coast to Coast became that that's representation.
What was it like wrestling Nick and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks?
Oh, my effing jar goodness. This is Swear Jar Central, damn it. man, I don't even, it's magic. It's magic. Literally, I don't care. I will lose to them 1,000 times. I'll win, probably not. But the Super Kick Party is no game. They are legit just amazing. And just their energy alone, it'll bring you up to a star level to inspire you to be the best you could possibly be when you're in the ring with them. Yeah. And you have to be on game, because if not, they're going to take you out quicker than the match starts. But we've had multiple matches with them. The first match ever that we had with them, I believe that was February of, I think I got it somewhere in my notes. Let me peek. I believe it was February. Oh man, it was in I think it was in Pittsburgh or Ohio. Man, my memory's jogged, but I do remember, like, the first time wrestling was amazing. The second time we wrestled them was a triple threat, and they were. That was a surprise. It started out with Sho and Yo, just a regular tag match, and then they come out. And then they issue that they're going to put the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships on the line. I'm just like, oh, damn. I was like, I got to roll somebody up and pull their tights or something. But they're definitely one of the greatest tag teams. And to me, they're like, oh, man, like, sometimes I can't really come to words. It's just, like I said, man, it's just magic. Like, they have something more special than a lot of tag teams will ever be able to get close to. Mm-hmm. Besides the fact that they're brothers and things like that, I think that's one of their secret key ingredients to why they're so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I admire those guys very much, and I would love to be in the ring with them again. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, at their company or you know, anywhere else that I could possibly, you know, get in the ring with them, man. Even I don't care if it could be in training, you know, unsanctioned in front of students. I mean, still would be a wonderful lesson learned.
Yeah. What was it like tagging with the mercenary Flip Gordon against Party Peacock Dalton Castle and his boys?
Oh, Flip is awesome, man. He's, you know, big salute to him. Flip is literally probably one of the coolest guys I think I've ever, like, tagged with, besides LSG.
and you know, he's watching.
Yeah, so right.
You gotta make sure you mention
he's probably like, you better say something good about me. But yeah, man, like I really enjoyed that match against Dalton and the boys. Granted, me and the boys are still cool to this day. Dalton is definitely one of a kind. His persona alone is just entertaining. I mean, I think that dude could go into movies or something like that, man. Like, super athletic. Flip Gordon, man, going back to him, he's beyond athletic. It sucks to see when my brothers and stuff like that get hurt. He got hurt later on down the road, but still to this day, he's still unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people out there are probably beg to differ, but I mean, if you're sleeping on Flip Gordon, man, you're ignorant. You know, he's definitely going to be a champion. He's definitely going to be a top guy, if not already, you know, and he sets the tone for athleticism, I believe.
Yeah, they've slowly but surely under the radar pushed him into ROH World Title Contendership. Me and co-host Steven Jackson were like, when was the last time Flip Gordon lost? And off the top of our heads, we couldn't think. So, yeah, we really, really believe he's incredibly talented. And then, like, the next questions and stuff, you know, coast to coast, have wrestled some of the who's who in tag team wrestling. So I'll say who first, and then you tell me who you want to talk about. So you've wrestled... you've wrestled Best Friends, War Machine, Christopher Daniels, and Frankie Kazarian.
SCU!
SCU. I
had to do that.
So, coast to coast have had some, amazing matches, haven't they? What was your favorite match out of these, or would you like to talk about them individually?
Altogether, I enjoyed every single matchup. There was, like I said, man, I'm a student of the game, man, to the end of this day. And everything to me, I had something to take away from it. And, excuse me, Best Friends, they just I learned how to, for me, I'm taking away the fact that it's okay to have a more than okay to have some funny moments and fun in the ring. Those guys are definitely awesome. Man, just thinking about SCU. Kazarian and Christopher Daniels are legends. I got to watch them early on in singles competition, going back to when I first started, like I said, when I got those DVDs a long time ago. And, like I've always known who they were and what they were about. And, they were, and still are, a wonderful, you know, team. And, I learned how to be basically what I took from them was like, don't ever let yourself lose that passion, because if you really watch them, you could see how much they really love, you know, what they do. And exactly, by just like, they lead example on how to basically take control of, you know, the tag team scene, you know, and they've always been their own leaders, so to speak. And I really like respected and enjoyed, you know, watching them and being in a ring with them.
And in between this, we mentioned this, I think, off air, but you wrestled, as you said, the US Bullet Club. This must have been a fantastic experience.
Yes. That was a main event match. Oh, hold on. Skip back. Hold on. Going back, you mentioned Hanson and Rowe.
Those
big sons of, you know what I'm about to say. Them dudes, yo, I remember the first match. And the first match, they scared the damn hell out of me, because, like, you know, and I'm a people person, man. I'm going to keep it real with you, man. Like, they're intimidating. That's no lie. Like, it's no game. Like, you know, they are no joke. They're powerhouses to the fullest. And I mean, I know you know, if you've seen their matches, you could see they rip through people easily.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that they were definitely big contributors to why, you know, Coast to Coast wanted to change the game a little bit as far as like what we had to do moving forward into mm-hmm. what Coast to Coast had to do later on, yep. as far as getting more intense and things like that. And they brought the intensity, they brought the strength, they brought the power, they brought all of it. And that's one of the teams I would have to say still to this day, I can feel some of the beatdown that was given anytime I watch their matches now. And you know, but yes, I that's definitely one of the greatest powerhouse tag teams I've ever been in a ring with. But yes, going to the question that you asked again, what was that?
What was it like facing off against Bullet Club USA?
Yes, Bullet Club. All right, Bullet Club. Oh man, that was nerve-wracking, man. Because like you're in the ring with the top stars of, you know, today, and they all are excellent at what they do, and hands down, it was probably definitely a cool match to be a part of, and to be able to team up with Scorpio Sky and Flip again was definitely you know, brought down the house, man. Like, everybody killed it in their own way and brought the best entertainment that they could to the 2300 Arena. And I was more than just grateful to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Though Coast to Coast had a hard time getting a little bit of offense in there, but when we did get that offense in, we did, you know, make it aware that Coast to Coast is still here at the time.
Yeah. And once again, reading off my notes about the 2300 Arena, the old ECW Arena, Coast to Coast got the biggest win of their tag team career at that point against the aforementioned Hanson and Road War Machine. Yes. How did this feel?
Very emotional, because it reminded me of the, like I was going back before, it reminded me of the first time we wrestled them. The first time we wrestled them, I was very nervous and shook up. And I think this match, definitely, there was no fear. There was none of that. It was kind of like, what do you call it? Like a revolving situation, because it was like, damn, like we technically almost really started our career off of these guys losing. And our first match against them, and like, in the end, before their send-off, we beat them. And it was kind of like, damn, like, we've come this far, and we've clinched this win against the team, to me. Yeah. And, oh, man, like, it was an emotional night, man, because I literally had tears in my eyes because it was in Philly, and at the same time, it was a wonderful – it was just a great match that – still to this day, I think people will still be able to talk about it because it was that epic and that just surprising. And man, I have to go back and watch that match so I can remember, you know, the one of the greatest times that we had, because that was something that can never be that will never be able to be duplicated. It'll never be able to be redone with any other tag team ever, as far as like what Coast to Coast would be going up against. But yeah, man, I was very grateful. I was very thankful. I don't know how many times I know you're not supposed to thank your opponent, but I thanked them over probably too much at the end of that. You know, once everything, the nervous jitters settled down and all that stuff, man, they basically gave us advice and, you know, said, you know, you got to take it to the next level and be the best that you can be. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me and still does to this day. And I'm still trying to be the better part of who Ali wants to be and should be.
Yeah. You wrestled against the Briscoes, Rhett Titus, and Will Ferrara, the Dogs, the AWGS, at Manhattan Mayhem 2018. Any special memories of this match?
Rhett busted my lip. I mean, nothing, you know, no offense to my brothers and nothing like that. There was nothing really that stood out other than the fact that it was an exciting match. Mm. I just enjoyed it. Enjoyed ass kicking and kicking ass. That's what I meant.
So one of my favorite teams in ROH currently are the Bouncers, and I do believe it'll be the year of the beer. You wrestled these with LSG. What did you make of that match?
The Bouncers, man, that's the big boy team. It's the big boy, those dudes are no joke. Besides their size, they know how to throw their weight around, and they don't hold back not a damn thing. We've had multiple matches with them, but surprisingly, there was never. I wish there was some gold in between some of those matches, but you know, Beer City and Malonis is just whoo. Yeah, that's the reaction I got is whoo. Both of them have landed on me multiple times. Because somehow, some way, LSG always finds a way to exit the ring at those points to not save her brother. But yeah, they're a big impact to Ring of Honor, and I really hope that they continue to, you know, move on up. Really good guys too.
Very good. Talking about huge wins, you know, it was obviously a huge win against War Machine, but then you got put in the ring in a fatal four-way tag match with Last Real Man, Silas Young, Beer City Bruiser, The Addiction, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and the Dogs, Rick Titus and Will Ferrara, and you won this match as well. That's a huge win. What did you make of it?
We were definitely put in a very tight position because I was like, man, if we don't win, there's going to be problems within our tag team. And like, we were having issues at the time anyway, because me and him always would clash between ideas and the vision and, you know, all this stuff. So like, at the time we were put into this match, I'm like, look, man, we got to do what we do best and try and just come out on top. And we did, thankfully. Mm-hmm. There was, I can't really recall, but I just know that we were very just proud of ourselves coming out of that match. Mm-hmm. And moving forward and continuing on the coast-to-coast win streak, so to speak.
Yeah. And next up, once again, we're talking about all your huge wins. So this is good for the ego, I think. so, yeah, this was against one of the premier teams of, you know, the new millennium. So Coast to Coast beating the Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. It probably doesn't get any better than that, I don't think, in tag team wrestling.
The legends. Oh, man, those guys are beyond, like, just excellent in and out of the ring. I could take advice or take an ass whooping from them. like I said, I'm always honest and straight to the point, man. I'm just, I was a fan of their tag team. I feel as though that I wish there was a redo or a rematch, so to speak. And I don't know if we'll ever, get that, but it was definitely a wonderful experience, truly a blessing to be in a ring with a tag team, another tag team that I was able to, you know, catch a lot of matches off of, you know, ROH and ROH DVDs and things like that, memorabilia stuff that I had. Mm-hmm. I just know that Saban and Shelley, man, they're just no, like they're no bullshit. Mm-hmm. And they literally, they're just, and like I said, I'm at a loss for words for a lot of this stuff because it means more than what I can express. Mm-hmm. Man, I hope they open up schools because they're definitely world class, and their history as far as like, you know, anywhere they've ever been, they've never been, you know, known to be just an okay tag team. They mm-hmm. are the tag team you want to be in a ring with, and they satisfied every single part of the little kid in me, or should I say the teenager in me, that got a chance to view them early on before I got to step into the ring with them. And I was just honored overall.
Yeah. Next up, once again, 2018 was a pretty great year for Coast to Coast, to be honest. You've secured more big wins this time against the Kingdom, before they closed the doors and went their separate way. You know, what did you make of these matches?
Matches with the Kingdom, man, they were almost in the same position that Coast to Coast was. Like, you know, just trying to, you know, make waves, make names for themselves and stuff like that. Vinny and TK, man, they're solid dudes in and out the ring. I'm a huge, huge fan of Vinny and his horror, his horror style, so to speak. I'm just blessed to be able to share the ring with people who had the same passion and same drive to want to be the best. And you know, regardless of the outcome, both teams were always just trying to shoot to be the best. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's what it was about. And I just enjoyed any match I had with them.
Yeah. And talking about shooting to be the best, you and LSG went up against the ROH World Tag Team Champions at the time, Mark and Jay Briscoes. How was this experience?
The super fan in me jumped out a little bit because if anyone has ever watched Ring of Honor since day one, the Briscoes are the true, and granted, I just said that Motor City Machine Guns are legends, but the day one legends, the Briscoes, man.
The OGs.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was about to say. The OGs of Ring of Honor.
I'm reading your mind, Shaheem.
Yes, I know.
Stuff.
You got the force. You're using the force against me or something. I don't know. Man, like, being in a ring with the Briscoes was, surprisingly, it was not nerve-wracking. It was more so we're geared up for a fight because we already knew what they were about. You know, I knew what they were about based off of just, you know, watching old clips and old, you know, matches and stuff like that. And then just watching them on up and down the road, you know, just doing what they do best. They're the best tag team, literally, still, you know, that Ring of Honor has ever, you know, really, if you'd ever, you know, watched grow up. Mm-hmm. Jay and Mark, I love those guys, man. In and out the ring, wonderful. Just awesome, man. They're legit, exactly who they say they are. No game, no bull crapping, no faking, no none of that stuff. And that's one thing that I definitely respect about them for sure, is like they never hold back. And they always, always go full 2,000%. Everyone likes to go 100. People say 100, this, 100, that. No, they go 2,000%. You got to be ready for a fight, a brawl, a massacre, a chaotic scene, because they gonna come with it. And that's one of the teams that I've always wanted to be like, hey, I want a rematch. I don't care when, but I want a rematch because we want a rematch. Coast Coast needs to be in the ring with just the Briscoes. I don't care. Because there was always something to learn from them. There was always something to gain. There was always a way where it's like, I always felt like I was able that LSG and myself were always able to upgrade the toughness that we needed to really collect and get because we were, in all honesty, I believe that we were too babyface. We were too much nice guys for a long time coming up. We were always appreciative and super humble. And not saying that's a bad thing, because that's what you should be. But I believe in our style of what we were trying to get out there, I believe that we were just too nice about it. We always will regret something that we did, or we would always be like, ah, man, why did we do that? We should have did this. And we could have did this. It just probably would have helped us, you know. And when we wrestled the Briscoes, it was kind of like everything that we wanted to do, we almost got a chance to do, and it's because they're an elite tag team, and they're no game. Like it's not easy to be in a ring with the Briscoes, and you gotta manage, you know, pain, the passion, all of it. It has to all be in there and be ready to bow up, so to speak. You know, stick your chest out and be ready, because they're going to knock you down if you ain't ready.
We come up on to the ROH New Japan G1 Supercard. What was it like being a wrestler before, during, and after the G1 Supercard?
Before, and luckily, I guess the cool part for me, I didn't have too much of a road trip to Madison Square, because I'm in the Bronx now. So it was just a nice, peaceful, like, train ride. And I remember just, you know, hopping on the train and taking the MTA 2 train from the Bronx to Penn Station, and just being able to walk around the corner to see just a massive crowd of people. And a lot of people were just yelling out, you know, my name, and they're like, Kozukos, and I'm like, that was there from just the travel of just my thoughts going into everything, and just meeting and greeting with the fans. Like, I stood outside with the fans for about 20 minutes just talking with people, because I love to talk to people. So, hey, fans, if you ever, you know, see me, catch me somewhere, talk to me. I have no problem. We can talk about anything, video games, wrestling, whatever you want. And you can call me Chaco Man too. It's not offensive. I promise you that.
Okay.
even in February, you can call me Chaco Man. The Chaco Man in February.
Okay.
But no, Madison Square, man, it was definitely life changing. It definitely opened up a lot of possibilities and paths mentally and emotionally for me, because I was dealing with some things, you know, and just doubting myself, and you know, I was at a time where I was just like, what's going on with Ring of Honor? What's going on with Coast to Coast? And, man, walking into that arena, checking everything out before it was all set up, it was beautiful. And then seeing all the pictures of all and of all the wrestlers well, they didn't have a lot of picture of wrestlers, but, you know, they had a nice picture of who was there and who's performed there. And then they've had, you know, the musicians who've been there and things like that. And I just literally froze a little bit, because I didn't, it was like, I wasn't even there. I was like, is this a dream? Like, is this like what is, like, I'm really here? Like, what is going on right now? And I was like, I really wish my mother could see this, because it was definitely surreal, man. Just walking through the hallways and even in the locker room, and, you know, everyone's energy is up. And, you know, then you got like the New Japan, you know, team that's on the other side, and like we're all smiling and everyone's happy. It's a great moment for everybody, because it's never been done. So it was definitely one of the most excellent days I would go back and definitely want to relive. The one thing that I do regret is that normally when I go to, you know, arenas and things like that, I do see the setup, and I know exactly where I'm going to enter and what I want to do. Like, if I want to be a little jazzy with my entrance, or I want to do something different or whatever, you know, I always have some sort of plan. So they kicked a lot of people out that wanted to see this, the official setup, because they wanted it to be a surprise, which I get, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
What I didn't know is when my music hit and it was my time to come out,
yeah,
I started to go through the curtains and went through another curtain and went through another curtain. And then I went up, I had seen lights above me. So I started walking up the steps. I'm just like, all right, I'm probably going into like another part of the area before I actually officially, you know, get out there. I climb up, I'm going up these steps, and every single step I'm seeing lights, people, and I'm just like, oh shit, this is the entrance. I was like, oh, I'm here. I was like, there ain't no going back. Like, hold on, I thought this was not the entrance I was supposed to go through. My bad, let me redo that. No, ain't no redo, man. I literally walked up and I was just like, oh my goodness. All I could think of was just like, I got to get to the ring, man, because this is crazy. There's just so many screaming fans. Everyone's going wild. And I'm just like, they know who I am. This is even better. Like, and then, you know, getting in there and being able to, you know, trade shots with Show and Yo again, because I haven't seen those guys in a while. Mm-hmm. And then, being in the ring with some of the legends, let me just tell you, man, it was an experience that I would definitely love to relive that if I could again and again and again. So many world-class stars that were in that Honor Rumble that I literally was just looking left and right like, I don't want to hit none of these guys, but I do want to hit these guys. It's just cool that they're, that hurt. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, I'm in this moment. I'm just like, oh, snap out of it. We got to get back in the Ali mode, man. We got to start whipping some ass. Like, I got a chance to really just, I guess I stood in the middle of the ring after I got some stuff off or whatever, and everybody was cleared out, and I got a chance to just look around. And it was great because I heard my name quite a few times from a lot of people, and I was just like, this is what it's about. This is amazing. The most amazing experience and most amazing moment that I definitely would say that made my year for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was the pinnacle for ROH, wasn't it? We are extremely proud to be a part of the Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast team. They are our hosts and we really appreciate it. So go follow them on Twitter at @BBGWWrestling, at @BBGWPod, and @BBGWrestling.com. We have a partnership with Powerslam.tv, and they have over 6,500 hours of professional wrestling from 140 plus promotions. Use that on us for free for a month using the code BROKENFREE. To myself, I'm a free-time pro wrestling author. Firstly, Fans Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. ROH is in this book, so that's the reason to buy it. I was at Unified in 2006. I was in the same hotel as ROH Wrestlers in 2007 and at the Liverpool Double Shot in 2007 too. Second up is a book that I don't usually promote, but it has ROH alumni in it. It's A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. If you want to find out what happened with AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, etc., make sure you read this book. And lastly, Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. I was at the Orlando Double Shot in 2008, and I took ROH alumni, my modern-day favourite wrestler, Paul London, to the main event and to the World Heavyweight title, and it's in this book. And then for all three books, are available on paperback and Kindle, and Kindle Limited for free. Signed via my Big Cartel, so contact me on fansperspective.bigcartel.com, and that is fine and dandy. Lastly, our social media. So Twitter is at ROH Review. Instagram is at ROH Review. We now have a Facebook page, facebook.com/ROH Review 2019, because that's when we were established. YouTube is one of those funny things that we have to put in the description. And our email is rohreviewoutlook.com. Comments, questions, feedback, send it our way via any of those social medias, and we will crack on with what you need to know. Thank you very much, everyone, and we'll see you soon. Bye for now. Bye.